Number 10A.
We come to cassette number 10. We have considered the first degree and the place value of that first degree in the within the two translations, and we have defined it that this is really the uncovering of evil through the Christ translation. Now, there is another important point connected with it. That's why I wanted to bring it out so clearly. Namely this, that the, in Christian Science we have to deal with two kinds of healing, the preventive art and the healing art of Christian Science. The healing art naturally is that where this cord has manifested itself already. And therefore you say to yourself, now what is the solution to it? Whereas most of Christian Science practice really should be directed towards the preventing art of Christian Science, which means what? Which means that the evil beliefs have not yet objectified themselves. They are still latent in consciousness, but they are still there. As long as we are on this world, we have to deal with a world of beliefs, with a lot of beliefs. But these beliefs may not have shown themselves and come to the surface, but they may be lingering somewhere in the unconscious. And there one feels these are really the more dangerous beliefs than those that are evident. Now, here you can see very easily why this first degree cannot be considered apart from the first translation, because we are not aware of the unconscious beliefs. That which should be handled as a preventive art in Christian Science, so that we handle those errors which have not yet sprung into manifestation, but still are there and are perhaps more dangerous, because at any moment they can come up from under the cover and show themselves. Therefore, there you see very easily that really the first translation is that one which should draw our whole attention, because that will deal with any kind of belief, with any kind, conscious or unconscious belief. Yes. Then we come to the second degree, evil beliefs disappearing. Here we have the moral state, the transitional qualities. Again, we remember that we have seen that perhaps the beginner in Christian Science, he feels that he should cultivate those qualities, that he should nurture those moral qualities so as to become a better human. And then we have seen, no, this is not the right method. The right method is to start with the first translation. Therefore, we can see that also the qualities of the second degree are an outcome of the first translation. They are brought out in life practice through the culturing of the Christ order, and not just by saying, I'm a good Christian and therefore I'm a good human being, therefore I should express these qualities. Now, you could ask here something very deep-reaching, namely, what is the difference? What is the difference if I bring out, say, humanity, is here the first quality, if I bring out humanity as a Christian from a religious standpoint, from a humanistic standpoint, and say I should be a better human, and therefore I should show forth more humanity and try to do that, what is the difference between that and if through the first translation these qualities are brought to light? Isn't humanity humanity? Does it then matter if humanity is the product of my religious effort or if it's the product of the first translation? Isn't that quite a question? Isn't humanity humanity? Isn't the second one honesty honesty? Isn't the third one affection affection? No matter if I show them forth from a religious basis, or if I show them forth as the end effect of the Christ translation. Have you ever thought about that? Well, this is a big question. Because if there would be no difference, then we could say, well, then let's take the easier way and take the religious way and just try our best to bring out these qualities. Yes, Louisa? Aha! Well, this is quite a point. This is a very big point. Wouldn't you see that? That if it comes from the human, you said it would not be an enduring quality, it could easily be shaken. Like, for instance, we have here faith or hope. Faith can be shaken, hope can be shaken. When you just have faith, when you just have hope, from a religious sense. But can hope and faith be shaken when it is the outcome of the first translation? Louisa said, no, they are enduring qualities. Hmm? Why are they enduring qualities? Yeah.
They are the outcome of
impact. Yeah. Yes. Yes. You see, the first translation brings forth ideas, huh? And ideas are always eternal, as it is said, eternal perfect. So the translated sense of ideas are then these qualities. Therefore, in that way, hope and faith are very enduring, are very positive. Whereas if we nurture them just as religious beliefs, then they always can be shaken because they are nurtured from the human mind. And this is, I think, something that has to be seen. That therefore, these qualities here are both. They are good and can be evil, as they stand here. If they are not translated then from the first degree, humanity, for instance, can be good, positive, let's say positive, it can also be a negative quality. You know that. If you have humanity, well, a positive sense is that it is a beneficent attitude, that it is an encouraging attitude, that it is you support the best in humanity. But is it always that? Can also humanity be applied wrongly? Can it be also something that can be misused, that your humanity that you show against certain class of people or kind of people will be misused, and therefore the effect is negative? Could you figure out that? Say, if in our humanity we give to the poor and sustain the poor. This is humanity. And so some could say, well, that's very positive. You give to the poor and you sustain the pure. Poor. And so that they don't hunger, that they don't thirst, so that they have something to clothe. But is that so today in the world with the underdeveloped countries to whom we give millions and millions? Is it always helping them? Most cases you feel, no, they only misuse it. Huh? And one, or say, sorry that my language here is a bit missing, you culture them into being dependent on the rich people. And so that they expect always the other one who have something to support them. So the whole humanity shown forth there is actually a negative aspect. We make the situation not better, but worse. So these qualities here have always that dual feature, that they can be used for the good, but they don't need to be good. They can also be negative and have a very marked negative effect. If you have compassion with somebody, well, that's certainly nice for that somebody. He feels comforted and perhaps strengthened for a while. But those who have always compassion on the poor and on the sick and on the disabled and so on, they just as well can make a reality of error and consider it to be a fact and consider it as factual. Can you see that? Or a compassion can be shown, whereas just the opposite should be shown, namely shaking up somebody. That would help, as she says in the chapter on practice so often, that she says, shake up the patient, shake him out of his beliefs. And therefore that's not the usual sense of compassion. It may be a divine sense of compassion, but then it doesn't belong anymore to the transitional qualities. With compassion we can support, so to say, an erroneous belief by always having compassion and compassion and compassion until the other one that receives that compassion is lulled into a state of weakness and without strength, without the energy to help himself, and without awakening in himself really the power to resurrect himself and to prove himself. So you can go right through all these qualities, like faith. Alright, faith certainly has a positive sense, and it is the outcome of the Christ translation, and it is the trust in what you have understood. It's the great trust in what you have understood. But we also know that faith can be blind, that faith can be unreliable instead of reliable. So in a way, I would like you to think once over when you go over that second degree and just figure out how dualistic in value these terms still are. Whereas when we come then to the third degree, those qualities are always positive. They have never a negative effect. They never bring forth something negative. Yes. Could we perhaps together just take one or the other of these ideas and see how dualistic they are? Let's take temperance. That's the last one there. Temperance. When is temperance positive? What means temperance as a quality? Yes. That would be positive. A kind of a balance. Huh? Yes. Not exaggerating or so. Huh? Yes. It prevents excess. Huh? It prevents temperance. It prevents perhaps ecstasies or emotionalism. Yes. But when is it negative? Or how could it be negative? Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. What do the other think? When is temperance as a negative effect? Yes. Overbalance. Yes, uh-huh. Yes, you got to tolerate everything, for instance, huh? And it is a negative sense, huh? A bit louder. Fanaticism. Well, would fanaticism be temperance? That would be the opposite of temperance. Huh? But we must see when temperance itself could have a negative effect. But the temperance can never become fanaticism. Would you say that Jesus expressed a lot of temperance, or that Saint Paul expressed a lot of temperance? Not really. Huh? Why not? Huh? Yeah. So if he would have been, what is the verb, the adjective temp? Yeah? Calm, don't. He would never have had the drive to go somewhere. Huh? He would never have had the guts to break open something, to break a new field. He would never have gone into a spiritual adventure. Huh? People with just that human temperance, that the balance, they never do something extraordinary. Huh? It hinders really the divine adventure. Huh? Yes. So we need also people who show, who don't show just always that calm, balanced sense of things, but which are impelled really to do something extraordinary. Yes. Or what can we take? We take meekness. We take meekness. When is meekness, say, a positive value? Yes. 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 Yes, 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 yes. Get some kind of inferiority complex. Say, I don't need to show what I am. It's also turns in into weakness, meekness into weakness, because it doesn't have enough strength to stand up for something. Yes, yes. That's positive. Yeah, that's now a divine beatitude, huh? And there you see meekness as a divine quality, huh? Yeah. So just meekness by itself doesn't really say that it is something good, huh? It always depends from where this quality comes. Yeah. Therefore, we can see, to sum it up, this second degree. We can see that only then, as it was said right at the beginning, only then when through the Christ translation something wells up within us that is of this nature of the second degree, and only then is it really good and positive. But the moment we try to do it humanly, the danger is too big, that it can turn into the very opposite. And therefore, Mrs. Eddy has not put these qualities under the third degree, under the third degree of understanding. There, in understanding, we come now to the third degree, as understanding, the spiritual, its reality. There, all the qualities that we have there are always positive, always positive. Wisdom is positive. Purity is positive, spiritual understanding is positive, spiritual power, love, health, holiness is all positive. They can't be used or misused. They cannot have a good or evil effect. And that brings us, we don't go through that, those are seven, because we have done that last year in the world order. I've seen that those seven qualities symbolize the world order. But what we can bring out right here is to see that therefore when we go through the Christ translation and start with the Christ translation, that our work is always somehow beyond the question of good and evil. Because in the first degree, evil is analyzed. In the second degree, really, that evil begins to disappear. And in the third degree, We have only divine qualities. And divine qualities can never be weighed as good or evil. Just as any mathematical fact or arithmetical fact, like 2 and 2, 4, can never be evaluated as good or evil. They are facts. And that is, I think, a great point, that Christ is God good. But what he shows is that the effect of it is beyond the question of what is good and evil. We don't anymore evaluate that way. And that is entering into quite a new realm. We then enter actually into the realm of Christianity at that point, where we have only to do with ideas. And with ideas, Mrs. Avery would never say or write about a good idea, no, naturally not about an evil idea. She never attaches the term good to idea. It's always what comes out of the Christ translation is beyond the question of good and evil. Right beyond. Yes. Why do I say that? See, why do I say that? Now we get again the reason of our chart. We can't say, therefore, that the lost, I mean the chart on the Christ, which you had this morning, can't say that the lost column, with all the suffering and crisis and chemicalized and so on going on, we can't say this is evil, nor can we say this is good. It is just the outcome of the Christ idea. Therefore, we should somehow get into the habit of freeing ourselves to constantly evaluate anything that we see and hear and do and so on into the classification of good and evil. This is good, this is evil. When we touch idea, then we go above or beyond the question of good and evil. Is that clear? I always ask, is that clear? And then I don't know if it's clear. Yeah? Yeah? All right. This is good. So we have considered these two translations, and we have seen that these two translations have been showing the first translation from God descending to man as idea, translating mind to mortals. The second translation is more the ascending way, namely to retranslate the first degree over the second degree to the third degree, so as to reach again the quality of the image and likeness of God. Now, this has been seen actually long ago in the Bible. The Bible has told us in many ways these two translations. And most clearly, I think, it was that great scientist of the New Testament, namely John, St. John. His gospel is full of this explanation of the two translations. I just read you one or the other quote so that we get the tone of it. Well, it's John 16:28, where he says, "I came from the Father, from God, and have come into the world." Here you have the first translation. Christian Science translates God, mind, to mortals, "and have come into the world. And now I leave the world," I leave the world, the first degree, "and go to the Father." He goes right back. Can you see it's leading back to its origin? So it's a closed loop that we witness here. Or John 3:13 says, "No one has gone up to heaven." See, going up to heaven would be the word. "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven." We cannot go... Sorry, I explained it wrongly. "No one has gone up to heaven," the second translation, a retranslation from earth to heaven, "except the one who came down from heaven," the first translation. So there is no way of starting with the first translation, we have to start with the... Sorry, I think we...